Okay, and we begin in prayer together, and then let's carry on. Our Father, we thank you very much for what we are going to learn further. Help us to understand where your scriptures become even more challenging as we seek to fathom deeper things. Give us wisdom to know what we can do, what we cannot. We pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, here's a big, very important question. How do we understand where God gave Elijah three things to do? Okay, now let's go back to 1 Kings 19 and we'll see what the Lord said. Okay, the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Okay, now there are three things, three tasks that we are looking at. And then there is a very specific you shall. Now, very often when we take things literally, sometimes we call it wooden literalism. Wooden literalism limits it to the one single person. That's it. Right? Now, this becomes a real challenge. What do we do? Now, so first and foremost, the idea of God's commandments gives to Elijah a number of things. Right? Remember, part of it is what we call revelatory. The revelatory part is to tell Elijah that there are tasks way beyond what he imagines is the tasks of God. Right? It involves Syria. Now, this was not in Elijah's mind at all. What God does in his command is to expand the thoughts of Elijah into ministry beyond Israel. Right? Okay, I hope you understand what I'm not. So part of the command is what we call a revelatory word, to expand the concept of understanding to Syria. Right? But the Lord Jesus Christ had to do that with his own disciples. And you shall be witnesses to me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. Right? So this is to expand the idea of it all. The word you is not necessarily a wooden literalism. Very often it will mean you and all others that will come. Right? So the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his apostles, and then others that will come, the same commit to other people. In 2 Timothy 2:2. Right? So you need to understand that it gives a bigger feel of understanding. Now, this is to help Elijah, firstly, because Elijah has not thought beyond Israel. And his thought of Israel is, you know, it's like that, it's hopeless. They come and they are seeking to kill me. That was his last word. And they seek my life. In other words, given Ahab and Jezebel, nothing's going to change. So his understanding of what's happening in Israel is limited to Ahab and Jezebel. And God helps him to understand, you're wrong. Right? Because the idea is dynastic thinking. After Ahab and Jezebel, all the children they have, they will take over and they will carry on being bad all the time. And God expands Elijah's thought. Elijah, no. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to raise up another person. He's going to become Jehu. He's not from this line. But what Jehu will do, God has not revealed to Elijah yet. Right? This one will clean up after Ahab and Jezebel. but he doesn't know a lot of it. And so what is available to him immediately is Elisha. It's not a matter of choosing. It's a matter of understanding what God has revealed and what is at hand. It was there that God brought Elisha to him. And he has to now understand that that focus is Elisha and not the other two. Right? So it's not as if he failed or he chose one but not the other two. But these two other commandments is just to expand the mind, this line of thought, his line of vision, his line of comprehension that goes way beyond what he could fathom. But was he ready for all that? No. Remember, Elijah is essentially a prophet of Israel. He's not ready to go into other areas just yet. In fact, few of the prophets were ready. So when God wanted to send Jonah over to Nineveh, nope, I don't want to go. They're just not ready to go out, which they should, but they didn't. Right? So some of the prophets did go all over the place, some to Egypt, some to this, some to that, and very often they had to bring a message from the Lord. And this is something that needed to be done. But these are early days, right? Later on, they become writing prophets where they will send letters as part of their mission work. And instead of being there personally, sometimes they would speak to different people and they would send them out to go out to bring forth that word to other people. But this is not as if you can choose 1, 2, 3. It's not. Do you understand part of it? So if I do not understand Syria part of it, how can I be part of that ministry? I can't. That may be my commission, but it is now a shared work. It's revealed and it's called. So it's not as if you can choose. It's that God sent him Elisha, because Elisha is going to be the person who will later on go and talk to Jehu, anoint him. And so on and so forth. When this is something that we want to, as you read further in 1 Kings. But that's our focus. We want to look at what it is. So when God gives certain commandments, so depending upon who you are, what is to be done? Now, Elijah is not your small prophet in a small place. This is a national prophet. This one is a high-ranking prophet, as it were. And he has got authority and power entrusted to him by God so that he can anoint somebody else. So look at his authority. You can anoint one, personal, two, national, three, international. That is his authority. It's not given to every prophet. Not every prophet will be given such a trust from the Lord. But this was his question, is how are you going to go about it? And so God brought to him Elisha, and he there straight away he understood. But how is he going to do it? Now that is a big question. How is he going to do it? Right? So when it is not determined how he's going to do it, then it's up to you to find wisdom how to do it. Right? Where there are specifics, we obey specifics. Where there aren't specifics, then we must use the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that the Spirit of God will give to us and we carry out that work. Right? Now, this is very important for us to understand and appreciate. So we have to think about ways and means how to go about doing these things here. And it's up to us to figure out what's the best way to get things done. And so, not that he had a choice, but that he had the wisdom to understand. This is why it goes back into what is the first prayer we need to make. And this is from Ephesians 1, 14 to 19. And it is a good prayer to work with. Right? So when we don't know, we don't have very clear specifics, then we have to ask ourselves, what do we do? We need to pray. And this is the prayer of wisdom that is needed. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 1, 14 to 19. This is a prayer that I suggest very much you consider. Right. Now, in chapter 1, all the way from 1 to 13:14, right? Basically, it ends at 14. The prayer begins at 15, rather. Okay? We have a lot of blessings of God. And Paul says they have been blessed with all these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Right? Let's look at this Ephesians 1 very carefully. Right? We look at these things here. Bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, the blessings have already, in fact, been given. Everything that you read in Ephesians 1, right, 3 to 14, is a list of blessings. If only we will understand and list down these blessings, they are very real and precious blessings. And yet Paul says they are in the heavenly places, in the celestial realm. But here we are in the earthly realm. How do we bring in things which are in the celestial realm to the earth? The means by which is this thing we call prayer. The blessings have already been given. They're literally stored aside. They've already been set aside. It's there, waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for you to come to understand how these blessings can be yours. Right? So when we pray for blessings, we often pray for our family, please keep us safe, we are traveling, please bless us, have a good year this year, maybe be happy, maybe be promoted, maybe be kept safe. These are very mundane things. All right? Almost childish. That's what children pray about. But when we want to pray for something at a deeper level, what do we pray about? Now, this is where prayer number one comes in. The two prayers are absolutely vital. But let's look at Ephesians 1, verses 15 down, and we'll take a look at this very carefully. Okay? Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, 1. Okay? Verse 2, your love for all the saints. Now, this is something that is already existing. The faith must be there. The obvious expression of faith is love for the saints. It's there. You pray for people who already have existing faith, right? Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is intercessory. Now, the real actual prayer, the content begins with 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now let's look at this first prayer. The first item, right? The 15, 16 are just explaining why he prays. And let's look at these things here. Okay? So we have, what we have is faith in the Lord and love for Him. And we have knowledge. The question is, what can we draw out of knowledge? Two things. One, wisdom. Two, the spirit of revelation. Right? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit has already been given, 1:13-14. Then there his ministry is very obvious. A, he is the seal. Two, he is the guarantee. That one you don't have to feel, you can't feel, you may or not feel, but that's not it. But he's there, seal, guarantee. This is there already existing. But there is an active part which is going to be vital. The active part is where, from this knowledge, we find the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is the work of the Spirit of God. See, a lot of times what we do in Sunday school is we teach knowledge. But if they only have knowledge, and they think that we have a lot already, oh, I have this knowledge, it's good, I'm happy that I've learned this, we haven't gone very far. What we need to pray about is that our students may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is where the Spirit of God opens our part of it is wisdom. A person may be knowledgeable but lacks wisdom. A person may have wisdom but lacks revelation. So we now, where is it drawn from? It's all drawn from the knowledge of God's Word, but we need to extract two things from this knowledge, this body of knowledge: wisdom, revelation. And this is a special work of the Spirit of God. That is what makes a person different. An early stage, when you look at Elisha, you know that wisdom already has been given. He understands the giving of a mantle without a word spoken. He knows that he must say goodbye. He knows what he must do. Kill the oxen, feed it, fellowship meal with everybody. It would be destroying the yoke, and it's not cheap. I'm done with this life. I'm going to follow. This is wisdom. This is revelation. Now, this is very important for us to understand. And we need to help people. And this is where sometimes we have knowledge. And the knowledge makes us very zealous. And we are very conscious of what we are doing. And after a while, it becomes a lot of self in ministry. We're doomed for failure. Right? So watch this very carefully. We pray. How many of us pray for that wisdom and revelation? It's something you need to pray about. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's going to be very, very, very important, right? What is needed? Every family camp has got to be such that the church goes deeper every year. It must go deeper all the time. It must be fresh. It must be real. It must be personal. It must be deep. Now, without the spirit of wisdom and revelation in operation, in working, you're not going to go very far. Right? It's been 50 years of ministry. Same with Easter, with Christmas. Right? Same youth conference. What we're going to work with, what are we going to build on? All of these things here, you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know how to make the church progress further from one year to another, from one decade to another, and so on and so forth. And now, the great challenge. From Elijah to Elisha, from me to the next set of leaders. I've got to pass this to you, and I want to. That you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand where God is leading, what God wants you to attempt, and what God does not want you to try. That's important for us to understand and appreciate. Okay, so let's look at this very carefully. Now, next part of it, okay, 15, 16, now 17, okay? The eyes of your understanding, this is on our part. This is the work of the Spirit of God on God's part. This is our part, B. Okay, this is a prayer part. The Spirit of God will function for us. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, this is something that we need to consider very carefully. What does that mean with the eyes of your understanding being enlightened? Okay? Now, the word here, the eyes of your understanding, the word here is actually a reference to the heart. The eyes of your heart, literally, that's what it means. Right? We are very often looking at the eyes. The eyes are the physical eyes we see. Right? Then we look at the eyes of understanding with reference to our mind. Right? Then we look at this idea of the heart of understanding. And you need to realize that there are many, many things which cannot always be comprehended intellectually or with the physical eyes. You've got to go a little bit deeper. And it must never lack heart. We need to have the Spirit of God give us wisdom. We're not talking human wisdom here. We're talking about revelation where God will explain, reveal things like he did to Elijah. Elijah, there are 7,000 other people you don't know about. Then there's Syria. Then there's Jehu. You don't know them, Elijah. It's not true you're all alone. It's not true you're the only one standing. It's not true you're the last man standing. Everything else considered. Think about this. Right? So the spirit of wisdom revelation must be given. But on our part, how do you know you have it? How do you know you have this spirit of wisdom revelation? How do you know? Eyes of your understanding enlightened. That's how you know. But when we do things mechanically, then you know you are not enlightened. Obviously. We're doing the same old thing. Teach the same old lesson. Quote the same old text. Do the same old thing. Crack the same old jokes. Then we have become stale. Enlightenment is what we need to look for. So if we do not see this enlightenment that is there, then we are really missing the point. Right? That's a really of special joy when we see younger people are able to open up their understanding and we begin to see and say, listen, you have a whole batch of people. Maybe there's a lot more tea left over. But they have one whole batch of young people that say, listen, we want to learn how to write and share our testimony for Easter. We're planning for Easter. We're planning to give 10 tables free to all the young. They can bring their friends along and asking them to write their testimony. What do I write about? What can I share? What do I want to share? How do I go about doing it? And it says, can you teach us? How do we do this? Okay, we sit down. Let's go to another session. I'm happy to do that. But look for enlightenment. Write with enlightenment. That's what we're looking. So on that part, if God's wisdom and spirit of revelation has been given to us, truly, from this knowledge, we have the Spirit's part and we have our part. But if this enlightenment is actually not there, the understanding of the heart is not there, you don't have it. Because B will go back to A. So if A doesn't result in B, A was not there. They're related. And a lot of people don't realize that they only have knowledge. That's all they have, can communicate knowledge and no more than that. So what do you have? Nothing much. Right? To those who don't have knowledge, you say, whoa, such a lot of knowledge. But those who are discerning, you begin to realize how shallow they really are. We need to go deeper. Years later, and we are still at a knowledge level that we have made very little progress. And that is a sad reality. And it's something we need to think about very carefully. We'll go on further. Okay? The eyes, when you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Right? These are the things we want to know. Now, from this knowledge, we expand. This is called literally an expanded knowledge. Right? What is it that we are looking to expand? So this idea of knowledge has got two aspects. One, the Spirit's work. Two, our response. Right? So from this, from our response, we go into knowledge back again, but this time it's an expanded knowledge. It's the same body of knowledge, but it's now expanded into certain areas. Right? Well, area number one, let's take a look at the first and foremost. What is the hope of his calling? Now, the word calling is a very huge word. Right? So, one, calling. Elijah's calling was to be there as a prophet to Israel. And, you know, he was stuck there. So he ends up with, I have been very zealous for you, for the Lord God of hosts. True? And the people have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, slain your prophets with the sword. True? But what is the hope of his calling? It is not just Israel alone in Ahab's time. Right? He's got to understand, look, Elijah, there is also Syria. There's also the next king after Ahab. What is your hope of your calling? It is far broader, bigger, greater than you could possibly imagine. This is how the Lord can expand this thought. Right? But it is what we call an expanded vision. It's not something that you can just simply latch on to it. You can't. You need one, two, before you can go into three. So your basic level, if you want to look at it this way, the basic level will be one, knowledge. We need this knowledge, basic. So the basic knowledge is there. Then we go on into the spirit of wisdom, two. And we look at how we respond to that, three, with an understanding, with enlightenment, the eyes of your understanding, eyes of your heart being open, and you may be enlightened, three. And then we go into four, expanded vision or knowledge. The hope of your calling. You need to look at this vision and you need to expand the work there. But you can't start here. You've got to start with simple knowledge. And the spirit of wisdom will give to you revelation and wisdom to draw all that you need from this body of knowledge. And you've got to watch, do I have this? Do I have this really eyes of understanding being enlightened? Because without this enlightenment, I cannot go into expanded vision and knowledge, into understand what is the hope of my calling. So my calling has expanded from little 20 Jalan Lakum vision to a worldwide global thing. Right? Having said that, whoever takes over will have to be able to bear all of these things. It's no longer straightforward. You need all of these things. This is why it has to be in a realm of prayer. And if you are having a list of things to pray about, I'll pray for this, I'll pray for this, pray for the bereaved family, pray for those who are sick and all these things here, you are just itemizing. The spirit of enlightenment is not there. Wisdom is not there. Expanded vision is not there. You're still praying at very basic levels. That's where the problem really is. Let me go on further, the next part of it. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What are the riches of his inheritance in the saints? Do you know we are the saints of God, so-called? We are God's inheritance. I think God is shortchanged. If we inherit God as our inheritance, we've got everything. God inherits us. What does he have? Seriously. So you just think about it. And here you are as a young person. You are God's inheritance. Ask what is God going to see in you that you are his inheritance? What? And sometimes you really ask yourself, what is that? And yet, Paul calls it the glory of his inheritance. In other words, there is a glory about you, which most of us can't say. So what is this glory? And many people think the glory is make up your face, mascara your face, and do whatever it is. Please don't. There's no glory there. A glory is in a mascara that you're using. Even Daiso sells that. So obviously it's not. So question is, what is that glory? And that glory is something that you need to want to discover along the way. It's really part of it. It's part of expanded. You see things like that and you begin to realize, look at what this person can do. And that's amazing. So when I look at this budding young writers here, my prayer is one of these days will write beautifully, write brilliantly, and what they can do, perhaps our lives are challenged and changed by what they can write and what they can share with other people. Then you bring glory, being an inheritance of God. You bring glory to God by who you are, what you become. Please don't be afraid of the word glory, right? So if you can be a brilliant person, please be, because your glory redounds to God's greater glory, right? This is what it means. So very often, Lord gives glory so that He Himself will be seen in the glory that men can see in us. That is what we are looking at. It's never beauty on the physical side. It is always far deeper, far richer, far more enriched than most people imagine. We go on further. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? There we go. So when we look at this expanded vision of what it is, and part of it is that we see the glory part of it, and part of it has to do with the power of God at work in your life. And the power of God at work in your life is absolutely vital to see, because it is working already. It has to be there. And that's what we want to look at in our Sunday school teaching ministry. Right? We want to look at first level. First, we teach them knowledge. Right? So BSS, JSS, these are all knowledge level. And we go on further into ISS and SSS, and then we go on further, and we want to look at what can be done. We pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation may be given to them. We don't just teach knowledge, we go deeper. Then we go on into higher level, SSS 2, SSS 4. So I want to push my class to go further, to do things, and I'm glad they have. I'm really, really glad they have been able to do a lot of things in one class, not one department. And they can do a lot of things, and I'm glad for them. And they are very, very deeply committed to doing what they want to do. And it's a joy to see them grow this way. Right? So we want to go from there to help them to go until you see heart enlightened. Eyes of their understanding being enlightened, and then they explore. The exploration now is at knowledge level expanded. And then we look at this. What is it that we are looking at? And we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4 things, and especially finally the power of God at work. And when we look at this ministry at our Sunday school and we realize that this is our ministry, then you begin to realize how essential that is. They're all related. The children cannot enter into level four. They're still at level one, knowledge. And they must be taught properly, carefully. Let them find joy. Let them find happiness in all they're doing, and it starts there. And really, really starts there, and they want to go on further. And we need to help them go there, to expand their knowledge so that they become wise children. They grow up and they're wise in their choices, in their making of friends, choosing of friends, in their behavior, in their school, and they keep growing well. And then we watch how their own wisdom understanding will expand further. And then we come back to four. This Ephesians 1 prayer. Have you prayed this prayer? This is prayer. And believe me, it's not an easy prayer to make. Right? So this is where this is prayer. This prayer applies to pastors too. Right? So they begin with knowledge. This part is easy to teach. This part is hard because the Spirit of God takes over. That it has to be in the realm of prayer. Lord, may there be the Spirit of wisdom and revelation given. Not everybody understands that. We keep on falling back on knowledge. I know this and that's it. How far short we have fallen. Remember, why is it so hard to learn? Look at Elijah, so hard to learn. He was so cocooned. 19:14, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. They have broken the covenant. They have forsaken it. They have torn down your altars. They have slain your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. That kind of cocoon thinking is wrong and ineffective. So God has to show him, you're wrong. Let me talk to you about Syria. I know the king, the next king, Hazael. What about Jehu? You don't know him. He's coming up. All right, here's someone you may know, Elisha. Anoint him. God has to literally expand his understanding. And if he doesn't respond, which he did, thankfully, if he doesn't respond, he's going to get stuck in the cocoon. So as he returns to ministry, he's got to understand all of these things together. And believe me, it's not an easy thing to understand. Right? Now, then it comes to, because of time, let me go on into chapter 3. Right? Let's look at this chapter 3, verse, looking at this 14 down to 21. And it's important for us to understand. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, beginning in verse 16, the prayer, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. It's a totally different prayer. This is first prayer, Ephesians 1, is really basic. This is a prayer that we need to make as well, as we look into, right? So this is where Paul went on to talk about, okay? That he would, according to the riches of his glory, remember, God's glory is so much more real and so much more visible when we see his strength inside us. And if we are, we don't have the strength and we are unable to function, then you realize that the work of God will be hindered. This is a strength that Elijah needed to find. This is a strength that we need to pray for ourselves as well. And this is where it begins. That he, okay, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. Now watch this very carefully. The phrases are very important. One, strengthen with might. Okay, two, through his Spirit. Three, in the inner man. And every phrase is important. This is not physical strength. This is a might that God alone can give. Right? Two, it must be through the Holy Spirit. If you just go to the gym and you just think, you know, I'm stronger, I am healthier, you're missing the points. God is not telling you to go to the gym. You might as well ask him which one. Obviously, it's not. So the question is how? How do we go about it? And that it is the inner man. And no gym will, there is no such thing as the inner man gym somewhere. Tell me the name of the inner man gym. There isn't. This is something that the Spirit of God, you must think and pray about. What do I pray for? This inner man strength is something that was really, unfortunately, lacking. Right? And so Elijah needed to find his strength all over again. For Paul, he already understood this, learned mistakes from the past, And so he prays for that. This is a prayer worthy to be made. Right? So we pray for inner man strength in that order, right? That we go on further. Now, when we talk about strength, part one, strength. Now, this is the next part of it, and it's going to be very, very closely read, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You see, when we talk about the idea of the Lord dwelling with us, and the Lord Jesus tells us what dwelling in Him means. If anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. Right? And the Lord said, and I will dwell with him. And I will love him. My Father will love him. And we will make our dwelling with him. This is the dwelling that we are talking about. So when you have knowledge, you don't have dwelling. It's not the same. Right? You need to be able, when you talk about dwelling, you're talking about a permanence. You're talking about a fellowship. You're talking about something that is dynamic. You're talking about something that's alive. It's not a book that you want to read up and then you mark here and there and you quote here and there and you cite here and there and then you think that's it. That's just knowledge. First, primary, basic level knowledge. Right? This is not. It's about strength. It is from this strength where we move on to the next part of it. And it's interesting to see the order of things. Right? You're talking about the order of things here. So the order of things is Ephesians 1. If Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4 aspects not fulfilled, you can't even think about, Lord, give me strength. This strength has to be found in the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the Lord in the inner man. And then we go on further, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, right? Through faith. Now, this is very important. Again, here we go back to the idea of faith. Okay, now move on forward to the next level. We talk about dwelling in our hearts by faith, and then we talk about, interesting, that you being rooted and grounded in love, the third part of it. Rooted, one expression, grounded, another expression, same word, love. Right? Now, this is very important. To be rooted speaks of natural growth, like a tree growing. Right? To be grounded is something else altogether. It's to be built up. But it's in this kind of love. And this love is not a static thing. It really isn't. So you have to ask yourself whether it's real. Maybe you have felt that love, but it may not be rooted, it may not be grounded. So you need to understand, okay, God has given me a chance to experience it. Right? But I need to be rooted in it. And when I am rooted in it, nothing will move me. I am grounded. Nothing will move me. That is what we are talking about here, another level. Right? So it's not a straightforward thing, but it must not be alone. Chapter 3 depends upon chapter 1, right? And they are related, right? Rooted, and we talk about being able then. How do we know when we are able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height and to know the love of Christ? Wow, that is amazing. We're not just talking about the love, we're talking about the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Right? So there we talk about knowledge in chapter 1. And now we're talking about this kind of love that passes level of knowledge into a realm by itself. Here is a love that passes knowledge. You cannot describe it. You cannot understand, you cannot dissect it. You cannot do a lot of things with it because it passes whatever human thing you may be able to understand. Right? And in that love, you will hear the the still, small voice of God. We are so busy with our life, we stopped hearing a long time ago. As long as we use our human faculties, our ears, our eyes, our mind, our heart, as long as we understand this, we'll never understand the love of Christ, which passes all of these things. This is a level of love that is very few people find this. Right? So this is something that you need to understand. And then finally, Paul added, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay? Now, this part of it is absolutely beyond description. The fullness of God. Never think that you know all there is to know. Hardly do we know all the fullness of God. In other words, even chapter 1 and 3 and all the writings of Paul does not cover everything we need to know. There is the fullness of God concept, that you may be filled. Right? Now, this is very important. Filled with knowledge, filled with love, filled with the Spirit. Paul puts it this way, filled with all the fullness of God. So how do we know where we are right now? Can this even be possible? And the possibility is found in verses 21 and 22, particularly 21. Right? That Paul commits us all to now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Whatever we can ask, whatever we can think, God is able to go beyond that. According to the power that works with us. Again, we go back to the word power. How do you know that you are actually going to have your prayers answered? How do you know? You will see a power inside you already working. That's what it's all about. Right? Because if that power in us is not working, it's a dormant, inactive thing, you can pray. 1 and 3 will not be answered. There is a power mentioned in chapter 1. There is a power mentioned in chapter 3. We need that power. It's a dynamic, active power that is from God. And it is evident, it is working inside people. That's what we pray for our Sunday school students. This is something we want to pray about. But we need to pray. When we pray for our Sunday school students, these are things we should pray about. Not just the lesson you're trying to teach. And then we are happy, oh, when our students quote us, we feel very happy. Please don't get caught up with yourself. What is important is the power of God that must work in their lives and change them. This power of God can change and revolutionize the life of a person, bringing about revival, renewal, revitalization, without which the person will be trapped in the cocoon. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. True? True. They have forsaken the covenant. True. Torn down your altars. True. Slain the prophets, your prophets, with a sword. True. But where are you now, Elijah? Where are you? What are you doing, Elijah? And all you can say, I have all past tense. But what are you doing now? In a cave, what are you doing? 40 days away journey from Israel. What are you doing? We need this. We need to understand. And so God expands our understanding. You see how they're related? I have yet 7,000 people, Elijah, who have not bowed the knee. It's not true. You're not alone. But wait. I want to explain to you, tell you about Syria. I want to tell you about the next king. You know what, Elijah? You can be a part of this. Anoint them. Anoint them. Be a part of them. Here comes Elijah. Anoint him. Now, Elijah is still struggling. Very much within himself, he's struggling. So he took his mantle, threw it Elisha. What happened? He's still struggling. He's still coming out of it. And many, many of us need to get out of a cocoon. God has to take us out, bit by bit, until you hear the still, small voice of God again. Till you hear the word of the Lord again. How? That knowledge, 1, 2, 3, 4. But this part of faith, of love, of indwelling of the Spirit of the Lord inside us, of the Lord Jesus, and we will make our home with Him. We will manifest ourselves to Him. These are precious promises of the Lord Jesus. The best part of learning how to teach Sunday school well is not your lesson. It's not a content. Remember, content is the only at knowledge level. Knowledge level is only level one. This level is love. This is perhaps the hardest level to reach. But that is our calling. What is the hope of our calling? These are two prayers that I revise, that I go over again and again and again and check for my own self. Where am I? Because I can end up like Elijah too. I can end up with a lot of challenges and difficulties. And I know that I need to be aware. I'm not going there. I'm not going to run into the wilderness and stay in the wilderness. You may think that you found God there, but God needs you to go back to people, not wilderness. To learn to be in the wilderness, to be alone, and to stay there is a mistake. You've got to return to ministry, real people, real problems, real life. And do it with a heart of love and understanding and wisdom and skill. There is a Sunday school teaching ministry. There is your ministry. And it's important. That little bit, the little touch that's there, that's so vital. Sometimes you think in terms of how what it means for us to see how people minister to others. It is something that we often take for granted. But we shouldn't, right? There's something that we want to do. I had an old neighbor, and they are originally from China. Now, I have not been in touch with them for the longest time, but they reach out. And they ask, and this lady, she's 100 years old, or this year. And she reached out and said, "You know, I want to be a Christian. Can I be a Christian?" Now, during the last few days, I was a bit busy because of the 3 funerals. So I asked Pastor Moses to go over, and she speaks Teochew. So I was the one who spoke to her in the past. And later on, her family came to know the Lord, and they all became Christians except for her. Now it's her turn. And so she asks, "Can I be a Christian? But I can't come to church. Can I still be a Christian?" That's how it works. He says, "I need my oxygen tank. Everywhere I go, I need to have oxygen. Otherwise, I can't breathe." And then she asks, "What about, do I need to give thanks to for food? What about if I want to drink water? Do I need to give thanks? Those questions may seem very simple, but it tells you her heart wants to learn as much as she can about being a Christian. So Pastor Moses asked her, would you like to be baptized? And promptly, swiftly, she said yes. 100 years old, we don't waste time. We seek to win them to the Lord. This must be our heart. What is it that draws her to the Lord? Right? She's from China, actually. And they grew up godless. And she looked around and she saw her children all going to church. She saw Christian people and she just reached out. Can I also be one? What touched her life? It's not knowledge. It's not Sunday school. It's not church. It's just simply the love of the Lord. That's what we need to have. A whole heart of love for the Lord. If we can have this, we will reach levels of teaching that are very difficult to find. This is what we want people to be able to do. Whatever it is, whatever ministry it is, you do it with a heart of love. And if that love is missing, what do we have? Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if I have the gift of gifts of tongues, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I have all the money in the world and I can even give my body to be burned, to become a martyr, and if I do not have love, what do I have? I've got nothing. If that love is not there, we've got nothing. That is really, really candid writing. So as we begin 2026, please pray, Ephesians 1, let this be your prayer. Please don't teach at the knowledge level alone. Look at the wisdom revelation level. Right? Go on further. Look for wisdom, understanding, enlightenment in your students, not in yourself, in your students. Stop thinking about yourself. Look at your students. Are they further enlightened? Because if they are not, all you have is to teach and it's all about you. Go on from there. Look for the power of God in their lives. Don't try to be the one who gives all the answers. Here's a question, here's my answer, as if our answers are everything. They're not. There's a power of God that needs to be at work. Then we go on to the next prayer. Right? So Paul prays. What do they need? Strength. In this world, they will need strength to cope. Right? More than strength, they need the Lord Jesus to dwell in them. They need to have faith that enables this. They need to have a love that is there. They need to have a firm love that is rooted, that is grounded. And then you see another level of power of God at work. The power of God is not just in the earthquake, wind, and fire. The most beautiful of all is the still, small voice of God. And this is very important. You know, sometimes I get a little bit of glimpse of what it means, about what it means to have to hear something quiet and small. Sometimes I am in Australia in ministry, or I'm in India, and in the middle of the night, I hear a little cat meowing. How can that be? Thousands of miles away. It can be because it's so real to me. I hear him. And you know what? I want to hear the voice of God too, even more. So each day I pray, Lord, speak to me. Let me hear you. Just say a word. And I listen to that word, and I meditate on that word, and tears come. Of joy, of love, because it is the voice of God that I hear. And they are beautiful things. They are my moments, they are mine forever because of special things. And sometimes the Lord helps us remember all these things here. Forget not all His benefits. Can this be done? I hope so. I wish you all a wonderful teaching ministry in 2026. Think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful God that you are, that you will speak to us, you relate to us, dwell in us, love us, care for us, teach us, enlighten us, embolden us, strengthen us, and more. Father, forgive us when we foolishly rely on ourselves, on our little bit of knowledge, on our little bit of understanding, and we speak so much about ourselves. Father, forgive us. Cleanse us from this foolishness of ours. We pray that you will open our eyes further as we reflect on 1 Kings 19 and recall Ephesians 1 and 3. Teach us how to pray. We pray for your blessings as we commence 2026 in our Sunday school year of ministry. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.